Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, June 23rd, Pope Francis delivers his Sunday Angelus address. He calls for peaceful solutions to the world's conflicts and says that negotiations are necessary. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Even amid turmoil and distress, we are to abandon ourselves to the Lord, trusting in Him always. This was the comforting message Pope Francis offered to the faithful at his weekly Angelus address on Sunday. Speaking to the thousands of pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square at midday, the Holy Father reflected on today's Gospel reading according to St. Mark, which recounts the story of when Jesus and the disciples were in a boat, and the disciples were terrified as Jesus slept when a sudden and strong storm threatened, or so it seemed, the sinking of the boat. Ultimately, the Lord had the whole situation under control and taught them a lesson about trusting Him.
Sembra che Gesù voglia metterli alla prova.
Even if it may have seemed that Jesus wanted to test them in their faith, the Pope observed that ultimately they came out of the experience more aware of Jesus's power and of His presence in their midst. Therefore, the frightening episode, the Holy Father explained, made them stronger and more ready to face obstacles and difficulties, including the fear of venturing out to proclaim the gospel. Asking why the Lord did this, the Pope suggested the episode strengthened their faith and made them more courageous. Having overcome this trial with Him, the Pope observed, they would know how to face many others, even to the cross and martyrdom, to bring the gospel to all people. Likewise, the Holy Father suggested, Jesus does the same with us. Especially in the Eucharist, he noted, Christ gathers us around Himself, gives us His word, and nourishes us with His body and His blood. With this experience, the Pope said the Lord invites us to set sail, to transmit everything we have heard, and to share what we have received with everyone in everyday life, and to do so even when it is difficult. The Lord, he noted, does not spare us from hard times, but without ever abandoning us, He helps us face them. Thus, he suggested that we too overcome them with the Lord's help, learning more and more to cling to Him and to trust in His power, which goes far beyond our capacities. This abandonment to Jesus, he suggested, enables us to overcome uncertainty and hesitations, and rather with courage and greatness of heart, tell everyone that the kingdom of God is present here, that the kingdom of heaven is present here, and that with Jesus at our side, we can make it grow together beyond all barriers. Given this, Pope Francis invited all faithful to ask themselves some questions. In times of trial, he pondered, can I remember the times when I have experienced in my life the presence and help of the Lord?
Nei momenti di prova, so fare memoria delle volte in cui ho sperimentato nella mia vita la presenza e l'aiuto del Signore, pensiamo.
And when a storm arrives, he continued, do I let myself be overwhelmed by the turmoil, or do I cling to Christ to find calm and peace in prayer, silence, listening to the word, adoration, and fraternal sharing of faith? Pope Francis concluded by imploring that the Virgin Mary, who accepted God's will with humility and courage, grant us in difficult moments the serenity of abandonment in Him.
Dell'abbandono in Lui. Angelus Domini, nunc ave Maria.
Et concepit Spiritus Sancto.
Ave Maria. Puntare invece con decisione a una soluzione pacifica dei conflitti. Ci vuole negoziare.
May the Holy Spirit enlighten the minds of rulers, instill in them wisdom and a sense of responsibility to avoid any action or word that fuels confrontation and instead aim resolutely at a peaceful solution to conflicts. Following the Pope's Angelus address on Sunday, Pope Francis made this appeal as he recalled the tragic events happening in the Holy Land and in Ukraine and said that to overcome conflicts, negotiations are required. Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square after the midday prayer and all from afar, the Holy Father discussed the wars plaguing the world. Let us continue to pray for peace, he urged, recalling in a special way Ukraine, Palestine, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Israel. Noticing an Israeli flag being waved by pilgrims in St. Peter's Square, the Pope recalled also having seen one hanging earlier Sunday morning from a balcony. It's a call to peace, he stressed. Let us pray for peace, the Pope appealed, as he remembered in a special way tormented Ukraine, which he said suffers so much. Let there be peace, he said, calling on rulers to act responsibly and end conflicts. The Holy Father also paid homage to his confessor.
L'altro ieri è venuto a mancare Padre Manuel Blanco,
a Franciscan from the Order of Friars Minor, who died between Thursday night and Friday morning at age 85 in Rome. The Holy Father went on to describe Father Manuel, who lived 44 years in the 40 Martyrs Church in Rome's Trastevere neighborhood, as a superior confessor and man of advice. Remembering, the Pope said, I would like to remember so many Franciscan brothers, confessors, preachers who have honored and honor the Church of Rome.
Che hanno onorato e onorano la Chiesa di Roma. Grazie a tutti loro.
We've heard the Pope's appeal for peace in the Holy Land amid the ongoing war, and thus let's turn to the latest news of the humanitarian emergency in Gaza in this report of Nathan Morley.
The Israeli military admitted that its forces had broken protocol by strapping a wounded Palestinian man to the front of their vehicle during a raid in Jenin, which is a city in the West Bank. The incident was filmed on a mobile phone and widely shared on social media. An Israeli army statement said the man had been wounded in a gunfight during the raid, in which he was a suspect. Later, the injured man's family reportedly said that when they requested an ambulance, the army took him, bound him to the hood of their jeep, and sped off. The individual was ultimately delivered to the Red Crescent for medical care. The IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Forces, said the incident would be fully investigated. There's been a swell of violence in the West Bank since October last year. The United Nations says over 480 Palestinians have been killed in conflict-related events there and East Jerusalem. 10 Israelis, including 6 security forces personnel, have also been killed in the West Bank. Meanwhile, tens of thousands of Israelis have converged in Tel Aviv to demand a ceasefire deal and the return of captives held by Hamas. Reportedly, the gathering on Saturday night was the largest anti-government march since the Gaza war erupted last year. Video shows fights and people being held as police, some on horseback, tried to move demonstrators off the main motorway. Hostages' relatives were among the protesters. About 120 hostages are still being held in Gaza. Some of them, though, have already been killed. Hamas and its allies seized them when they attacked southern Israel on the 7th of October, killing around 1,200 people, most of them civilians. Gaza health authorities say Israel's devastating offensive since then has killed more than 37,000 people. Elsewhere, a leader from the Islamic group was killed over the weekend in an Israeli airstrike targeting a vehicle in the village of Al-Qaira, located in the Bekaa district of Lebanon. Tensions along the Israel-Lebanon border have escalated in the last 6 months. Meanwhile, a Shiite militia in Iraq on Sunday claimed responsibility for a joint drone attack with Yemen's Houthi group on 5 ships in Haifa port in northern Israel. The militia claimed the attacks were carried out in solidarity with the people of Gaza. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And as Pope Francis always remembers, beleaguered Ukraine under attack, let's turn to this report of Stephen Boss about the emergency in the country.
Russian officials say 3 people, including 2 children, were killed by falling debris when 5 Ukrainian missiles were shot down in Sevastopol, a port city in Russia annexed Crimea. Nearly 100 people were reportedly injured. Elsewhere, regional authorities said 1 person was killed and 3 injured in Russia's Belgorod region, bordering Ukraine, when 3 Ukrainian drones attacked the city of Grivoron. Yet, despite these setbacks, Moscow claimed its air defenses managed to shoot down 33 Ukrainian drones over Russia's western Bryansk, Smolensk, Lipetsk and Tula regions with no casualties or damage being reported. The Ukrainian attacks came after horrific scenes in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city. Russian-guided aerial bombs hit Kharkiv. The attack was captured on several security cameras. Rescue workers tried to save lives in this heavily damaged residential building, but authorities said at least three people died after the Russian airstrike hit this five-story apartment block. More than 40 people were reportedly still being treated for injuries Sunday, underscoring the extent of the attack. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
In other news, the Catholic Media Conference was held over the past 3 days in the U.S. city of Atlanta, bringing together journalists from across North America. Dr. Paolo Ruffini, prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, delivered the closing keynote address. He urged Catholic media professionals to orient hearts toward communion through a Christian interpretation of events. Devin Watkins was in Atlanta and has this report.
Dozens of Catholic journalists and media professionals from across North America gathered in Atlanta, Georgia this week for the annual Catholic Media Conference. The event offered attendees the chance to network and keep abreast of emerging trends in the media landscape. Presentations ranged from the use of AI in the media to the work of Eastern Catholics in war-torn countries. As the conference drew to a close on Friday, Dr. Paolo Ruffini, prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, offered a keynote address on the importance of Catholic media as a tool to weave communion and offer hope. In his speech, Dr. Ruffini said only the Holy Spirit can illumine our hearts in order to interpret daily events in the light of the gospel and report on them in a way that builds communion in the church. To communicate the beauty of the Church, he said, means to witness this unity under the successor of Peter, which unites us to all those to whom we communicate. He pointed to pockets of toxic polarization in the world, saying it not only threatens the roots of democracy, but also affects our being members of one another in the one ecclesial body. Noting the upcoming U.S. National Eucharistic Congress set for July 17th to 21st in Indianapolis, the prefect highlighted the unifying power of the Eucharist, which brings Catholics back to the community so that we may bear witness to hope. The way to spread the good news, he said, is to change the narrative towards hope, recognize the dynamism of the good, and set hearts ablaze by orienting them towards communion. As more and more people actively avoid the news due to constant negativity, added Dr. Ruffini, the role of Catholic communicators must be to provide a different perspective and connect people to hope-filled stories. The challenge of the Church, concluded the prefect, is to build a network of communication based on the communion that unites us, on the truth that sets us free, on the love that explains everything. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va, and also on our social platforms, X, Instagram, and Facebook. Many thanks go to our sound engineer, Gabriele Di Domenico, in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. See you next time.